If there is a stereotypical rapper, despite his name, it's not Common. He goes by Rashid in private life, but on stage he's Common with a capital C. Rapper, actor, writer. Common has earned a reputation as a socially and politically conscious artist, writing songs that speak to his own personal struggle and evolution, from a young childhood growing up on Chicago's South Side to internationally known performer. We're happy to have Common and his mother, Mahalia Hines, join us today. They've co-authored a new memoir called One Day It'll All Make Sense. That's the same title as his third album, and the book was released yesterday.
Them boy wanna talk like them wanna guan come. But what you gonna do if you got one gun?
Common, you probably thought one day this would all make sense. In May, you were invited to the White House to perform at a poetry event. But your visit sparked an unbelievable controversy, especially amongst police unions, because of a poem that you performed in 2004 on Russell Simmons' Death Poetry Jam. It was called A Letter to the Law, and we can hear it here.
On the streets, they try to beat us like a drum. In Cincinnati, another brother hung.
What happened there? You think you were misinterpreted?
I definitely felt that I was misinterpreted because I would never encourage or endorse the killing of anybody. Police, soldier, anybody. That's not what I'm about. So for me to be noted and said that I was a cop killer, I mean, or I endorsed that, I was like, man, they must don't know really who I am and what I stand for. Because in that earlier piece that I did, it was really about police brutality. It was based on a human being who was killed in Cincinnati, and he had been shot, I think it was over 40 times. And it was just, at that time, I had to speak up for that. I had to raise awareness to that. And I continue to try to raise awareness about issues that may be going on for the people that don't get hurt and for the injustices that do exist in this country.
Well, this is a particularly either good or bad time to be talking about those things. I mean, with all the talk that we're having about post-racial society, about Barack Obama, whether we call him the first black president or the first multiracial president.
Right.
You know, we had an interview with someone that you know. Toure was on the program, and he was talking about whether or not African-Americans should judge each other over whether they're black enough or too black, I guess. I want you to take a listen to his comment.
It's not a religion that you can be thrown out of. You know, it's a community that you cannot escape, and it's a thing that you have the right to shape yourself. Skip Gates talks about there's 40 million black people, there's 40 million ways to be black.
This is something that you talk about in your own book, your identity growing up in your book. Your new memoir is called One Day It'll All Make Sense.
Yes. I really feel growing up in Chicago and the way I was raised, I got a really good sense of who I was as a young black boy and a black, to grow up to be a black man in this world. And I encountered some of the self-hatred that you can get as being within a neighborhood with your own people. But then I got a lot of self-love. I got a lot of positive energy. I got a lot of sense of self, too. And during this time, I think we can't ignore the fact that there still are racial prejudices that exist, that we do have hundreds of years of thought patterns that we have inherited that we have to unlearn. And we have to acknowledge those things and be able to say, okay, I've had these prejudices, but I'm willing to get past it, because we know that for our world to get better, we have to look past these racial walls that we already have inherited.
Even beyond racial walls, you know, a lot of hip-hop, Mahalia, has to do with gender walls. And one of the criticisms, which is often well-founded, is the criticism of the way male rappers deal with or talk about women. And, you know, you talk in the book about how you listen to Jay-Z and all kinds of, they call you the hip-hop grandma, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I wonder what your thoughts are about that, especially coming from a relationship which was fraught with sometimes danger, sometimes real fear. I wonder how you feel about the way that rap handles relationships and handles women.
Well, all rap is different, and I think various rappers handle it in various ways. I think sometimes it's derogatory, and sometimes it's just based on their experiences. So it's very difficult for me to lump all rap into the same category.
You never went to your son and said, what's up with this lyric here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. But that was my son. So it was easier, and more so when he was young. I was like, what's up with that? You know, so we did discuss it. And it's been times he's changed a word or two after our discussion. But still, I have to also look at the context it's used in. And probably being an educator, I'm able to do that a little bit more. So sometimes words in certain contexts aren't as derogatory as they would be if they are taken in isolation. When you know, take words in isolation, they can be very, very offensive.
I wonder what you would say to young rappers of any color or coming from whatever city they are. I mean, the young kids who are motivated like you were growing up and grappling with maybe some really tough subjects. I mean, what would you say to someone starting out now? I mean, they're very unlikely they're going to become a big multi-platinum star and get invited to the White House. Yeah. So what's your advice?
I mean, my first advice is to be passionate about what you're doing. You have, when you create music and art or any job you take, you want to really love it. You want to wake up in the morning and that's something you look forward to doing. And it's not really work because, you know, I got a quote. A good friend of mine gave me a quote from Khalil Gibran that says, work is love made possible. So really, you got to love what you're doing. It's not even work at a certain point. And if somebody can come approach their art from that perspective, that's the first thing. Then you also have to really try to find your voice, something that's original, that's you, because there's only one you in the world. So you got to find that voice and let that voice be you. And then go out and continue to grow and learn as an artist, like explore different brands of music, different poetry, different museums, different street things. Just explore it and learn, and then add all that to your being as an artist and go forward, like, with faith.
But wait, you're a rapper. I didn't hear any mention of cars, a grill, or bling. I thought those were the main motivators for getting into hip-hop.
Nah, you know, that's the, you know, the true thing. If you think about where hip-hop has come from, it really was derived from people that were in the inner city that were in a poverty-stricken situation that were, like, wanted to release, and some of the best songs, one of the first songs I heard was called The Message by Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel, and it was about, like, coming out of the ghetto, really overcoming all these struggles, and a lot of the music was based on that. I mean, it was an era where everything was pro-black and consciousness, but, you know, as life goes and we evolve, so did the music. So I think it's still, to the core, is about upliftment, you know, really, when you get down to the heart of it.
Common, author of One Day It'll All Make Sense, and his mother, Mahalia Hines. We'll have more from them next hour. As the times of 89 pay and visit me. Warm days in the cold beer chemistry. Eventually broken up by responsibilities and such. Sometimes it's error mentally I reconstruct. High school I came out it. Cast without a graduation. You can weigh in on that conversation or anything else that you've heard on The Takeaway. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Or post your comment to thetakeaway.org. The president is touring the country to tout his jobs bill. A listener in Lake Mary, Florida, calling him or herself Labs111, posts this at our website. Obama can't create jobs by spending more money the country doesn't have. This proposal he's pushing has nothing to do with putting people back to work. All he's doing is using this forum to spend more money, create more debt, and have people pay much more in taxes. Your take at thetakeaway.org. John Hockenberry is out today. If you want to find out where he's been, you can check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/thetakeaway. I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
This is that automatic. I stay fresh like a wrapped in plastic. Beat those plastic, see galactic. Southside more, we Cadillac-ic.
I'm thrilled today. We have the opportunity to sit down with Common, actor, writer, rapper, among many other things. He's just come out with a book called One Day It'll All Make Sense. The memoir was released yesterday, and we're also joined by his mother, Mahalia Hines, who helped write that book. And let's start with the book, Common. You've structured it around letters that you've written. And I wanted to start with your letter to Emmett Till. Emmett Till, of course, was a 14-year-old African-American boy who was murdered in Mississippi in 1955 after reportedly whistling at a white woman. And in your book, you talk about Emmett Till's influence on you from a very early age. And this is from the letter you write to Emmett Till. You say, "I always thought your mother was so courageous, so strong, to have demanded to have an open casket at your funeral. She was determined to show the world what hatred could do. It taught us. It showed us." So how exactly did Emmett Till influence you?
Well, I mean, me being a young black boy from Chicago, and to hear his story of a young black boy who was killed because he whistled at a white woman and beat the way he was beating me, seeing those images, I always felt like, man, for somebody to have to go through that, I have to value my life. I have to really make something of my life, because this young man didn't know. I mean, he was 14 years old, and he didn't know any better really at that time. And it's like, to lose your life over something like that with that type of hatred, it just made me say, man, you're lucky and you're blessed every day to be living, and you want to do something important in this world. And that's just what I felt from it.
You know, a lot of us write journals and write poems when we're young. Yeah. And, you know, I certainly did. And I would never in a million years want to publish them. I don't want anybody seeing what I wrote as a 16-year-old, because I was an idiot. And, you know, I sometimes wonder if artists feel that the same way about their very early work.
Well, I listen to my early work and kind of laugh sometimes and think where I was. I'm going downtown like Julie Brown. I'm the round mound, not a rebound, but like a hound, I get downtown. Never will release, but I get loose. Producing something faster than fruits. Got more soul than combat boots. I mean, sometimes I might hear a line that's kind of clever, but overall, it's like, man, I was doing that. It's like looking at one of your old high school pictures.
Or, yeah.
You know, you just kind of.
Me, it was all the hair.
Yeah, it's different. But I do appreciate those phases of life. Even when I look back at pictures from 2000 or pictures from 97. And it's just, I understand that life is like evolution. So I can appreciate it and not look down upon myself. But it is, I do look how far I've come. And I know I got a long way to go, but I am grateful for how far I've come.
Well, we do have the woman here who knows exactly how far you've come. And yeah. Your mother's with us, and I'm glad you joined us, because I also want to read something that you wrote for this book. And I guess this was the first time you went to the House of Blues, and
yes.
It was the first time you'd seen him perform?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so this is what you write. "All I saw were people jumping around on stage and hollering, angry, loud, and more often than not, cursing. I just sat there in amazement. My best friend Barbara and I knew she didn't say what she really thought because she didn't want to hurt my feelings. We sat there in silence, looking at one another." I mean, clearly the first experience of watching your son perform on stage was traumatic.
Absolutely. It was not a good one, to say the least. I think I was going to see maybe Stevie Wonder or, you know, a concert
Michael
like
Jackson.
The Jackson 5 or somebody. And that was foreign territory for me. It didn't really remind me of music, and I wasn't sure that was a performance.
What was it about you, do you think, that was the most upsetting? I mean, was it the fact that it was not, that he just wasn't up there singing? Was it the fact, the way the audience was reacting? Was it the fact that he was using curse words? Was it maybe the subject matter, the way he was talking about women?
I think it was a combination. It didn't bother me as much, some of the curse words. You know, I'd heard them before. I'm in education. So that didn't bother me a lot. I think what bothered me was the interaction with him and the audience, because back then, you know, they might jump on the stage with you, or he would jump out into the audience. And I really thought it was dangerous. And I really, you know, was uncomfortable with the dangerous aspects of it, as I saw it.
Did you see going into rap, was it a dangerous thing at that time?
No, I really looked at hip-hop as just a form of expression, sort of like what you said earlier about being raw and being open enough to show whatever your perspective is. And some of that is the perspective of people that come from hard times and struggle and going through pain. Some of it is just your creative imagination. But I always looked at it as a voice, you know, for people to hear what I think and what I feel and my creativity. I met this girl when I was 10 years old, and what I love most, she had so much soul. She was old school, and I was just a shorty, never knew. Throughout my life, she would be there for me on the record.
Common, author of the new memoir, One Day It'll All Make Sense, and his mother, Mahalia Hines. She hit me
had dinner in the park, but she was there for me and I was there for her. Pull out a chair for her.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.